Marriage is the very foundation of human society. But it was God's idea to begin with. What is God's plan for your marriage? How can you know? What can you do to learn and grow with your spouse to honor God in your marriage? Pastor Bob Enyart covers this deeply personal and critically important topic in his teaching series, God's Plan for Marriage. Order by calling 800-8-ENYART or online at kgovstore.com.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to another edition of Bob Enyart Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church, and many of you know that church moved to Arvada some years back. And in the city of Arvada is Faith Christian Academy. It is a local school. I think it's K through 12. And they have always had an extraordinary sports program. Well, it turns out that two of their baseball players have been drafted by the Chicago Cubs. That's big. You might recognize their names if you follow local sports, Pierce Johnson and David Bodie. And what an honor in studio. David Bodie, welcome to Bob Enyart Live.
Thank you.
Wow, congratulations.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Now, how soon after this was announced, did you hear immediately that you had been drafted?
Actually, no, I was in Africa when I found out that I got drafted. I found out about 15, 16 hours after I had been drafted.
That might be the longest delay in the history of professional sports.
Maybe. I don't know.
So I'm dying to talk to you about your career as a baseball player. But first, tell me about being in Africa.
It was quite the experience. I'd like to say it was fun because it was fun, but it was more impactful. Seeing the conditions that people live in and how blessed I am and how blessed we are to live in a great country in America. And being able to share the word of God with those people out there was truly amazing.
So you're a believer, David. You believe in Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir. Yes,
now,
sir.
I've heard that, but this is the first I've met you. And it's just a thrill to hear. You know, we, our family, my 12-year-old just read Tim Tebow's Through My Eyes.
I have read that book.
Oh, you have?
Yes, I have. It's a wonderful read.
Well, he is ecstatic. In fact, his parents offered him $100 if he stopped drinking pop for a year.
Yep.
And so my 12-year-old Michael asked us, and we said, sure, we'll give you $100 if you could pull that off.
Is he doing it?
It's been about a month. He hasn't drinking any. So
that's great.
So that is great. But Tim Tebow reminded us that sports players can be open and honest about their faith in Jesus Christ.
Absolutely.
And so you're young. You were in Africa. Were you there as part of a missions effort?
We were. I was with my brother and my girlfriend, a couple other people that with a North Metro Church in Thornton. And we went to Africa. We went to Nairobi, Kenya, and Arusha, Tanzania for about 2 weeks.
Wow. And when you see the poverty, now, I've never gone to Africa, but we take Bible tours of different countries. We spent 3 weeks in Turkey. And when you come back to America, it feels like you're entering the promised land.
It is.
I could see why in the news, sometimes people come back and they kiss the ground at the airport when they get off the plane. The difference is startling, and we take it for granted. All the prosperity we have, and the religious liberty, and Christian bookstores, Christian radio, TV, concerts, churches, and you go to other countries and you see the desperation, for one thing, just for nutrition and good housing, and then also for the gospel.
Yes, the thing is, though, that got me was, with all the desperation and poverty that they live in, the one thing that I noticed was the joy that they had, the joy in Christ, because that's the only thing they had to lean on was Christ.
Oh, wow.
Some of them may not have had food the day we were there.
Oh.
And we were in the slum of Kibera, which is one of the largest slums in the world. And our church supports a school that they built there now for New Hope Initiative.
Wow. Thank you for doing that.
It's
And thank you for being part of a church that does that. Give us the name of your church again, because this is a 50,000-watt station out of Denver, Colorado, the most powerful Christian station in the country. And there may be people listening who are looking for a church. So what is your church?
North Metro Church in Thornton.
North Metro. Who's the pastor?
Pastor James Wagstaff, who was a soccer coach and Bible teacher at Faith Christian Academy.
Oh, he was?
A couple years ago. Yes, he was.
Oh, wow. Now, did you know him as a coach before you knew him as a pastor?
I did not.
Okay.
No.
So he's a soccer coach. I went to Nyack Bible College in New York State back in the 70s. And that's a missionary school.
Okay.
So even though it was small, maybe the total school population was maybe 400 students, but they were all from Africa and Asia and South America. We had the best soccer team. And so I played soccer and we got to play against Penn State and Boston College and so many neat schools.
That's cool.
So it's just great meeting kids through the whole missions world.
Absolutely.
Just great. So you were there for a couple weeks and not only the poverty, but you saw what it meant to be a Christian.
Absolutely. They totally relied on God and they knew that with him was the only way that they would be saved. And that was heartbreaking to me because we have such great blessings. We sometimes forget how blessed you are and that it does come from Jesus Christ that has blessed us. And we kind of rely on ourselves and what we can get. And they is just a nice reminder of I need to rely on God, even being so blessed. And now I can't stop praying and think about them for sure.
Wow. We just celebrated Father's Day. And I thought as a dad, we have 7 boys, Cheryl and I, to be able to provide for our kids, even just a meal or a shelter, a home, it's only because of God. God gave us the trees we use for the wood for our homes, and he gave us the plants and animals we use to provide for our kids. So to be thankful for God for every good thing we have is so important. And then to realize that every bad thing is in opposition to him. So really, Jesus Christ is the center of everything.
Absolutely. Yes,
he is. David, I mentioned our boys, 3 are young, still living at home, and they all 3 play hockey. Now, do you have anything against them because they play hockey?
No, I do not. As long as they're staying active, that's totally fine.
Cool. They also snowboard and they camp for a week long next week on Catalina Island, California with the Boy Scouts, which is at Faith Bible Chapel.
Oh, really?
They have Troop 999 there, which is one of the greatest Boy Scout troops in the nation.
Wow.
So they're taking our kids. We're so honored and humbled to be a part of their Boy Scout program. But so for young sportsmen and gals who play sports, do you have any suggestions for them?
I do. And it comes from Tim Tebow, actually, because he spoke at our school at Faith Christian last year, I think, my senior year.
I remember when he came here.
And his words that really stuck with me was don't quit. Don't quit. No matter what happens, don't quit. If you want your dream and you pursue that dream, no matter injuries or persecution or people like look down on you or won't let you play, don't quit. Don't quit.
Don't quit. You know, now I'm a Jets fan.
I'm too.
All of a sudden, I don't know what happened, but I grew up back east, northern New Jersey, loved the Jets. Now all of a sudden, in my 50s, I'm a Jets fan.
That's right. I'm cheering for Team Devo.
At baseballamerica.com. When I found out that we were so thrilled that you could make it, I mean, you've just been drafted this week by the Chicago Cubs. You're a local guy. It's such an honor to talk to you. And so I looked up, I just put in your name, and here's what I found out. David Bote. And by the way, your last name, B-O-T-E for the audience. Coming off a school record 46 wins in 2011, Neosho County had its best season in school history. Freshman shortstop David Bote had a stellar year at the plate by hitting .420. Congratulations.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
He was also proficient on the bases, stealing 20 bags in 21 attempts. That's pretty good.
Thank you. I can't take all the credit, though. I had the great team. Obviously, we had 46 wins, and having other hitters like Jack Aloney and Matt Strom, the pitcher who also got drafted this year, they really helped me also.
He was drafted where?
Jack Aloney was drafted in the 16th round, and Matt Strom was drafted in the 20th round.
Wow. And for which teams?
Brewers for Jack Aloney and the Royals for Matt Strom.
Wow. So you might be facing your
could
past
be possible.
Teammates.
That's for sure.
Yeah, and that'd be fun, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So let me ask you this. You've played high school baseball. You've played college. Now you've been drafted by the Cubs. What's your next step? What happens next?
Well, there's a regional scout because I was in Africa. He's coming sometime this week, Thursday, to go over the contract. And I've not yet decided if I'm going to sign or not yet.
Oh.
But yeah, so things are looking like it may be, but unless something terribly goes wrong. Mm-hmm. But first step would be to sign, if God willing, and that's what I wanted to do.
Wow.
And then they'd send me to Arizona for a physical and then send me to a place to play for
there's,
a short
there's
season.
There's a rookie league in Arizona.
Yes.
Arizona's got many of the sports teams, right? I used to live in Mesa, Arizona, attended Arizona State. And over the years, so many teams have located their rookie leagues there because of the great weather and Yeah. It's really become a mecca. People from Denver go down there to watch the games.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a lot of fun. Yeah, so you might be headed there.
I might be if I sign.
Tell us about the position you've played, shortstop, right?
Yes, I have. It runs in the family.
It does?
It does. How so? My father was a shortstop at CU, and my brother was a shortstop at Liberty University.
Shortstop, I think that is one of the hardest positions to play in baseball. I played peewee, little league, all that when I was a kid, and then that's it. Then I went to college and played soccer. But shortstop is so hard. I mean, I remember playing outfield. I'd play second base, and I tried out at shortstop. It's just tough. Could you tell me why? Was that just a fluke of my experience, or is it really a hard position?
All positions are hard in their own different way, but shortstop's different in the fact that you need to be quick, have a good arm, and be able to hit. As a pitcher, you need to be precise with your pitching. As an outfielder, you need to be fast. And each position needs its own certain skill level. And so I believe if I was to go play outfield, it'd be a little bit more difficult than for me to be at shortstop.
Oh, really?
But, I mean, I don't know. You can train different ways.
Now, and I don't want to get you in trouble with a future first baseman, but isn't first base one of the easier positions to play? It always seemed that way to me.
It does seem like that, but it is difficult for sure. You have to know which positions, where to go.
I'm sure it is. And the first baseman is expected to be able to hit.
And he actually saves me a lot of throws and some errors as well. Oh. So they'd be able to pick and take high throws. So I need them just as much. So.
All right. So what will happen now to your daily routine over the last years? Have you gotten up in the morning and the first thing you do is go out to play ball?
Nope. That's the dream, though. That's the dream, definitely. Ever since I was a little kid, I just wanted to wake up and go play baseball. That's ever since I was young. That's what I wanted to do.
Wow. Isn't that just great? So to get that opportunity, it's not only your skill, I think, it's got to also come down to personal character. When you were approached, was that a concern? Do teams today look at the character of the young sportsman that they're considering?
I'm not sure about that, but it does seem like that for sure, because the scout that I was talking to did ask previous coaches about my character and who I was as a person, which really meant a lot to me because he was interested also in who I was as a person, not just as a baseball player,
right?
Somebody that they can get money from and for and like whatever. So he did care about who I was as a person, which was really, really neat to see.
Well, that is neat, and especially that he's not just asking you, he's asking your coaches. Because there are so many young men in this country, and of course around the world, but who have been given the chance of a lifetime, but because they don't have a foundation, they didn't know how to handle the fame or the money, the opportunities, and they somewhat self-destructed, and that's the more extreme cases, but sadly, there are hundreds, if not thousands, of those cases. And then even if they don't self-destruct, they end up hurting their team, or not performing to their ability because they didn't know how to handle this new level.
I definitely am blessed to live in such a family that I've grown up to be followers of Christ. And they've really taught me to focus everything on Christ. And I have great support that they will keep me accountable. And that's a wonderful thing that I have with my family.
Well, with the Cubs also drafting and signing, I believe already, another former Faith Christian player, Pierce Johnson. Do you know Pierce? I imagine you do.
I do. I was at Faith Christian my sophomore year, was unable to play the varsity level because of transfer rule, but he was the pitcher and hitter and actually was probably the best player on that team that year. And he's a great kid, great player, and he's a stud.
Have you spoken to him since the draft?
He did. We actually talked last night over Facebook, and we were excited that the possibility of us playing together again was pretty close. It could happen.
That is just great. What do you see as your strengths as a player, as an athlete?
That's a tough question. My dad has taught me the mental side of the baseball is very, very key to have. And because of him, I believe that he has made me mentally strong, and that is something that needs to happen as a baseball player.
Well, you said playing shortstop runs in the family. What did you mean by that?
My dad played shortstop in high school and college, and my brother also played shortstop, my eldest brother. Mm-hmm. And that's what I've played my whole life, and great. I love to play that position. And I love to play all positions as well. If it comes to that, I'd play anywhere to play.
Has there been any discussion at all with you about playing any other positions?
Different scouts have said different things. Some scouts say, you stay at shortstop as long as you can and then move when time happens. And if there's you got a stud shortstop playing and that's hindering you from moving up or whatever, and you need to move to second,
are you willing to do
that? I'm totally willing to do that. And whatever helps the team.
That was an issue with Tim Tebow, right?
Yeah.
They wanted to put Tebow as a running back. Would you consider it? He'd say, no, I'm not going to consider it. Now with the Jets, I think, would he do anything? I'm not sure. In the studio audience is Doug McBurney. He's the one who said on air that the Broncos are dead to him. He's now a Jets fan. But would Tebow play any position with the Jets? He would, right? He said that. So I think that's a real good attitude, of course. And you haven't signed yet, David, but it must be just an honor to have people at that level look at you and your talents and say, we want that guy.
Yeah, and it was kind of a surprise at first, actually, because I was at Liberty my first semester.
Liberty College back east?
Yes, in Lynchburg, Virginia. Mm-hmm. I was there, and then I transferred, and I was just kind of a nobody. You know, I was a nobody to whatever. I was just going to play baseball.
Not to the Lord.
That's absolutely. Absolutely. That's true. Absolutely.
The Lord. Every time you go up at bat, the Lord says, that's my kid down there.
But yeah, on the baseball field, I was just another player. And the scouts came to watch Adam Jackalone and Matt Strom. And because of them, they saw me. And that was a big blessing.
Wow.
I was able to perform at the right times and they liked what they saw. And I'm very,
did you know
very
that
honored.
The scouts were there. Did the scouts tell the players we're going to be here on?
No, not at first.
Tuesday?
They told the coach. They told the coaches. And sometimes the coaches say, hey, you know, this guy's coming in to look at you. So just want to let you know. And of course, you should be playing hard 100% the whole time because you never know who's watching.
Every
especially
game.
Especially for the Lord also because
he's
given the gift that I need to play hard for him no matter what in the beginning.
Wow.
And then secondly, there's different people. You have no idea who can be watching you at that time.
Mm-hmm. All right, so when I ask you what are your strengths, you hesitated to answer, which is, you know, good. It's sort of like bragging.
Yeah.
My strengths are I talk a lot. I'm a talk show host. But your strengths, what is it that made you a good baseball player?
Work ethic. I believe that working hard will definitely help you in anything. You may not be the best hitter, the best fielder, the best thrower, but if you work hard and get the opportunity and you thrive in that position, that will be more looked upon highly than your numbers, per se.
Well, working hard, I don't know if you saw the documentary, Year of the Quarterback. I think ESPN might have done it on Tim Tebow. And it was a 1 or 2 hour documentary. It was fabulous. And the thing that you come away with is he works hard.
Yes, he does.
He has a goal. And, you know, there is not another quarterback in the country who worked harder than Tim Tebow every day of the year leading up to the last season. I mean, somebody might have worked as hard as him, although that's hard to believe. But how could you work harder? There's just such a commitment, and it inspires not only people playing sports, but David, you guys, you inspire all of us. We see somebody achieving greatness, and it makes me think, hey, I want to be great as a husband. I want to be great as a dad, as a pastor, as a talk show host.
Absolutely. He has definitely been an inspiration for me as well. Mm. And just having somebody like that who does the right thing and follows the Lord and works hard and can still perform at a professional level is really promising and really neat to see.
Do you have a favorite game, a favorite play that you could think of?
Like recently, like for myself?
Yeah.
The game that I really enjoyed was in the Junior College World Series in Grand Junction this past spring. And we were playing San Jacinto in the Monday night premier game in front of 10,000 fans. Uh-huh. And it was a military day. And we got to honor military men and play under the lights. We ended up losing that game, which was kind of a heartbreaker. But it was one of the most fun experiences I've had a part of.
Wow, isn't that just great?
It was pretty neat.
So it's not all winning and losing, but winning and losing are pretty important.
Yeah, they are. You play to win, but...
That's right. And that's what God wants us to do. As long as we're following the rules, of course, you play to win.
Right. Absolutely.
That's great. David Bodie, it's an honor to have you in studio and
thank
to
you.
Interview you.
No, thank you.
May God bless you and your career.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. I'm going to email the link to this show to our three boys, the ones that are playing hockey, and they will be thrilled to hear that interview. Okay, he's gone.
David Bodie has left the building.
Yes. He's gone. Doug McBurney, welcome.
Thank you for letting me come into the studio. I'm sitting here in the chair of maybe a future very famous Christian guy.
Yeah.
Really cool. You know, I've said for years that leadership, whether it be political, social, cultural, is failing us, so we have to grow our own.
Yes.
And I saw it in the face of David Bodie and his beautiful girlfriend earlier. It was just, I could see it.
North Metro Church. And that's such a thrill to hear that the guy didn't find out he had been drafted by the Chicago Cubs because he was doing missions work in Africa till the next day.
Awesome.
That's good.
So somewhere in heaven.
It's a good sign.
Harry Carey is looking down. And I'm going to leave it to our producer to figure out what Harry has to say.
Beth, Cubs win! Cubs win! Cubs win! Cubs win! Cubs win!
But I want to go. I've got a couple of stories here because I know we don't have a lot of time left. But I wanted to run this by you. I've been in a slave labor camp for the past 3 weeks, and
you've
so
been traveling,
traveling,
you've been working,
doing all kinds of fun stuff, gathering lots of signatures for personhood.
Oh,
by the way,
thank you, Doug.
Our mail-in
that.
Date, our mail-in date for the personhood petitions, July 9th. It's coming up really
postmarked.
Soon.
Your petition has to be postmarked by July 9th,
yes.
Or delivered to the person in Colorado. Office.
Right, which is where I'm headed right after this broadcast.
Oh, where?
I'll be turning in six more that I got filled up
over
the weekend.
Thank you for doing that. You know James Craddock.
I do.
He
love
and I
James
were
Craddock.
Getting signatures at the Christian Home Educators Conference.
Oh, check, yeah.
And we got a ton of signatures, and it was really a great day.
It was a thrill. Mm-hmm. I tell you what, it was.
You went there also?
I went there. I did 4 hours. I got over 100 signatures. It was just phenomenal.
Yeah.
And what a pro-life, pro-God, pro-family.
Yeah,
just
right.
A great
the crowd,
group of people.
Christian homeschoolers.
Yeah.
That's one of the three greatest assets that the gospel has in America.
What? Now, what are the three?
Is the personhood movement,
yeah.
The young earth creation movement, and the Christian homeschool movement.
The trifecta. We've got them right where we want them. Right.
Doug, there was one couple that was hesitant to sign.
Yeah.
And they said this. They said, well, we don't know about personhood because we've heard that personhood opposes incrementalism. Mm. And I said, well, I'm with Colorado Right to Life. And they said, oh, yeah, we heard that you guys are against incrementalism. Mm. And I said, well, we've taken out full-page ads saying we support incrementalism in newspapers all over the country, just as long as it's principled and moral. And I said, don't you know Colorado Right to Life has been fighting for the Fetal Homicide Act to pass in Colorado for years now? And they're like, oh, yeah, that's right.
That's an incremental.
That's incremental.
Yeah, yeah.
So I said to them, not all incremental bills are moral. And the gal, she said, you know what? Come to think of it, when they want to give condoms to kids and they say that that's an incremental way of dealing with abortion, she said, that's immoral. I oppose that.
Awesome.
So I said, good point. That's the kind of incrementalism that Colorado Right to Life opposes if it's immoral. She said, well, I could agree with that. Where do I sign?
All right.
And they both signed.
Well, that's awesome. You know, it depends on what your definition of incrementalism is. If your definition of incrementalism includes the regulation of the murder of innocent people, we simply
can't
support that.
Right. So you could support principled incrementalism,
indeed,
but not compromised incrementalism.
Yes. Now, can I tell you what the one man at the Czech conference who would not sign the petition, there was only one.
Okay.
Can I tell you what he said?
Those are pretty good odds. Jesus said that the weeds are going to grow up with the wheat.
Yes.
So, those,
so
that's
I'll
pretty
tell
good.
You what this weed had to say.
Oh, no.
He said, figuratively speaking.
Okay.
He said, this is political idiocy. You are wasting your time. You've already lost twice in a row.
Twice.
By 2-1. He said, you've already lost. Why do you keep wasting your time?
Yeah.
Is what he said.
Yeah.
So now, because I'm at the Czech conference, I'm in a really jolly, happy mood. I'm not in a combative, confrontational mood at all.
You weren't?
No. No, I was happy and jolly as probably you've ever seen me in my life.
I bet.
It was great, right?
It's hard to imagine.
So I told this
not
man.
Not being combative. Go ahead.
I asked this man.
You're a Marine.
Well, but that's
you're a former Marine.
Here's what I asked the fella. I said, who are you going to vote for in November? And he said, I'm going to vote for Mitt Romney. And I said, that is political idiocy. I said, you're going to vote for the one man, the only governor in the history of the republic who instituted both homosexual marriage and taxpayer-funded abortion, and you're calling me a political idiot. And I said, we may lose 10 times in a row, but we only have to win once.
Wow.
But if you put Mitt Romney in the White House, you're putting a wolf in sheep's clothing in the White
you
House.
You lose by winning.
You lose
you're guaranteed
by winning.
To lose.
Yes.
You have to lose. if you vote for Mitt Romney.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, hey, Doug, I thought you said you were not in a combative mood.
No, that's as least combative
that was
as I
mellow.
Get, right? That was very mellow. And I told him, I said, I am happy to be a fool in your eyes for the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Wow.
And I said, that's
praise,
what this is about. This is about
Lord.
Preaching the gospel
yeah,
of Jesus
right.
Christ.
And loving your neighbor and loving unborn children. Doug, the homosexuals trying to do what Mitt Romney has already done
yeah.
in Massachusetts, they're trying to legalize homosexual marriage.
Yes.
They have lost every vote. I don't pay 100% attention, but I seem to recall every statewide vote they have lost so far, and I think it's about 35
yes.
now. They've lost 35 times in a row, and by all accounts, the momentum is with them.
That's right, unfortunately.
And we are
true.
The ones that are playing defense.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. I guarantee he would recognize that the momentum is with the homosexuals on marriage.
Right.
And he wouldn't say, oh, they lost the first two times. They yeah. should have yeah. given up.
They lost the first 30 times. No, he knows.
Right.
And
it's only a failure if you quit.
That's right.
Otherwise, it's a stepping stone toward victory because eventually those who want to protect children win and those who want to kill them lose. I mean, it's undeniable if you have any kind of a Christian worldview, eventually the child killers lose.
Yeah.
And I'd much rather be on the winning side
That's right.
of the issue of protecting kids.
Yes. And I'm happy if he thinks I'm a fool.
Yeah.
I think it's even in the Bible. I'm happy to be a fool yeah, for the sake of
be
Christ.
Be a fool for Christ's sake. Yeah. Amen.
Have you read this story from the Texas Department of Transportation? It's one of the most encouraging stories I've heard
the
in a long time.
Texas Department yeah. of Transportation. What could they possibly do down there that would be relevant
they've
here
built
in Denver?
It's not relevant in any way, but
okay.
they've built a toll road, and they're considering posting the speed limit.
I love it.
At 85 miles per hour.
It is relevant.
85 miles
I think
per
angels
hour.
Are celebrating in heaven.
Now, it is a toll road, but I have committed the next time I'm in Texas, I am going to get on State Highway 130, if indeed they post that 85 yeah. mile an hour speed yeah. limit, just because it would be so liberating. Because in Texas, you can see from one county to another, and sometimes that's like 150 miles,
You're
just
right.
straight road.
Right.
And anyway,
right.
it really has
that,
nothing to do with
that
anything
is great.
At all.
And
with.
Speed limits should only be defined by the safety in the construction of the road and the traffic.
I would agree.
That's what should define a speed limit. And it should be natural given the type of vehicle. Like an RV exiting a highway off a ramp
yeah.
cannot take it at the same speed as a Corvette.
No.
So it's ridiculous to post 35 mile per hour limit.
Yeah, yeah.
It should be that there are signs that show you the curve
yeah,
of
yeah.
the exit ramp, and then you take it at a reasonable speed.
Yeah, they should have one speed limit sign. It should just say drive safely.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Thanks, and thanks to David Bodie. God bless you all.
All right. That is exciting, huh?
Yep.
Young guy, loves the Lord.
Amen.
Loves baseball. God bless you guys. KGov.com.
This is Bob Inyart inviting you to read the plot for an overview of the whole Bible. Call us at 800-836-9278. That's 836-9278.
Marriage is the very foundation of human society. But it was God's idea to begin with. What is God's plan for your marriage? How can you know? What can you do to learn and grow with your spouse to honor God in your marriage? Pastor Bob Inyart covers this deeply personal and critically important topic in his teaching series, God's Plan for Marriage. Order by calling 800-8-INYART or online at kgovstore.com.